lovely singing. It's been a great week, been a great weekend. I hope it has for you. Unless, of course, you're a South African supporter, then it's not such a great weekend. Amen. I'm sure there's a few around here and there, but anyway, good game, eh? Great wedding yesterday. That was fantastic. Great day for a wedding. Anyway, it's just been a Friday night. We had the movie night and I watched that, what was it called? Overcomer, that's the one. Overachiever. Overcomer. And yeah, that was a great start to the weekend. And then next week, of course, is our anniversary. It's the last weekend until a group of us, there's 23 from IBC, going to Israel on Monday, next Monday. So we need your prayers. We'd appreciate it. And it's going to be a great trip, and I look forward to sharing some of it with you when we get back. Anyway, just pray for the group, and there's a lot of excitement there and still a lot to do this coming week, I'm sure, getting ready. But like I said, what I'd like to do now is to not go over the theme verses for next week, but the verses prior, in verses 1 to verse 8 of 1 Peter 2. The title of the message then is called Cornerstone or Stumbling Stone. Cornerstone or a Stumbling Stone. And it's kind of like laying a foundation so that we'll have something with a context with which to put the theme on next week when we come together for anniversary week. Would you please stand with me and follow along as I read? We're going to read through to verse 8. So follow along and I'll read it. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. Let's pray then. Father in heaven, thank you for your word to us again. Lord, your word is sharp, it's powerful. Lord, it looks into our very inner heart. So I pray, Lord, that you would do a work inside of our hearts today. Take away things that are not pleasing to you. Lord, strengthen our hearts, convict our hearts. Make us, Lord, stronger and more reliant on you in our faith. If there's anybody here, Father, who doesn't know you, they don't know you as the chief cornerstone, I pray, Lord, that you would open their eyes, that they may see, that they may come in faith, no strings attached, put their whole trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. The first thing we're going to see in our text this morning is our motivation for growth. Our motivation for growth. This is kind of preliminaries, introduction to the text, but I think it's important as well, of course. It wouldn't be here if not. But under our motivation for growth, three things: our preparation, our means, and our motivation. First of all, our preparation. We see in verse 1, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. This is that preparation for the growth that is to come spiritually. Notice he says, therefore. This means that this is like a conclusion remark. And the context here is the previous chapter. So to understand fully, of course, you have to have the whole context. In the previous chapter, he explained how that we have been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ and therefore called to be holy as he's holy. And then we see here, therefore, the response on our part then is this: laying aside, casting it aside, taking it off. Don't go back. Lay aside these things. And then here's a small list. Just a small list. How many items are there? There's malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Five things. That's not a big list. I've seen bigger lists in the Bible of things that we're to avoid. And so don't assume this is just a necessarily all complete list. Just lay aside these things. And you might be sitting here thinking, well, murder's not on this list, is it? So that's okay. We can hang on to that one. Or adultery's not here. So that's okay. I can hang on to that one. That's not at all the intent. What's the first word? Malice. Interesting. If you look up malice in the dictionary, you're going to get something like a desire inside someone to do harm to another person. They have malice towards them. You've heard it in that context, I'm sure. Well, the Greek word here means so much more. It's different. It means badness, depravity, evil, naughtiness, and wickedness. So that one word malice here is pretty much quite a comprehensive word. In other words, what Peter is saying is don't do anything, therefore, don't do anything that harms the name of Christ in your life. Be careful how you live. You've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and you've been called to a holy life. Therefore, be careful that you don't bring shame to the name of Jesus Christ, the one who bought you and saved you and paid so much. Be careful. Lay these things aside. They have no place in our life as a believer. You can't hang on to these kinds of things. The things of the flesh, the things of the sinful nature. You can't hang on to them and still expect to grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. Grow in your life as a Christian. Walk in abundance and be blessed by Him. You can't expect that. Lay Him aside. And then we come to the means of growth. Verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. This is an easy one. What's the first thing that a brand new babe is desiring? Besides being held by mom, I'm sure. One of the first, they start looking. They need some sustenance. They need some food. Now, a baby you can't feed him a nice, you know, a Scotch fillet steak. But they need food. And so they desire milk. And that's what helps them to grow. Well, Peter is saying here that the Bible is that milk that we desire as newborn babes in Christ, that we may grow. Hunger for it. That's where we get our sustenance, our energy. That's where we grow. This is the means of growth. We saw the preparation, but then we got to see the motivation. Why? He says in verse 3, if indeed you have, what's the word? Tasted. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If indeed you have come to that faith, that understanding, and you know what Jesus had done for you and how much He had forgiven you. If you've gone through that, you know what I'm talking about. You appreciate what Jesus Christ did for you. That's our motivation. Nothing else. As a Christian, our motivation is the grace of Jesus Christ and our love and thankfulness and devotion to Him. There are some things that are bad motivations for getting us to do things. Let me share one with you. This one is, one of the motivations is fear. Fear. And as I was thinking about motivations, suddenly this image popped into my head. Can I show you this picture? You know what this is a picture of? Anybody, raise your hand if you know, if you recognize it. Oh, a couple of you. What's it of? The old what? Yeah. Well, no, it wasn't a comedy. It was a drama. Yeah. Yeah, I think you got it. I think you got it. It's kind of Chinesey, but you got it. It's an old film made in 1957 called The Bridge on the River Kwai. And it's interesting because at the beginning of the film, these British were captured. It took place in then Burma, which I believe is now Myanmar. Myanmar. Yeah, at the time, that was Myanmar. Now, Siam was Thailand. Yeah. Okay, so it was in Burma. And they were captured by the Japanese, held in a camp. And the Japanese commander of the camp needed this bridge to be built for important reasons, supplies, Japanese supplies to be brought through. And so he ordered the camp to build this bridge. And they were abusing the prisoners, they were cruel to them, and you know, did all kinds of bad things. And so the prisoners, they did what they're told to do, but they were doing it very poorly, very slowly, and messing up all the time. They didn't want to get the bridge done. And so the commander, this Japanese guy, was getting stressed, not meeting his deadline. And he realized if he didn't meet his deadline, he was going to be required to kill himself. And so, you know, he was really stressed. But the thing is, he started to realize that if he took care of these guys and met their needs and fed them well and was nice to them, treated them kindly, that they had a different motivation. And the movie goes on that, you know, they took pride in their work and they wanted to get it done quickly and wanted to get it done on time. And they did. Obviously, they were doing it for the enemy, which became a problem. But the motivation changed. The motivation was there. What was attempted to motivate them through fear, it just didn't work in the long run. But motivate them differently. Treat them differently. And the same when it comes to following Christ. You know, motivating through fear isn't a good motivator. Another motivation, though, is something called pride. And that is your what others think about you. And what they say about you is more important than anything. And so you want people to think well of you, and so that becomes a motivation. But the Bible tells us that God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Pride is not a good motivator. But the motivation that is good is this one called love. Love. And that's the motive that we have experienced for ourselves when we have experienced the grace of God. We've experienced His love. Having tasted that grace makes us desire to know more of His grace in pursuing the words of God. God loved me so much. I got to know more about Him. I want to know Him. The next point we come to then is the cornerstone. The cornerstone, referring, of course, to Christ. Verse 4, coming to Him, to Christ, as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. And then Peter quotes in verse 6 from Isaiah 28, verse 16. He says, therefore, it is also contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on Him will by no means be put to shame. This cornerstone is a paradox. On the one hand, He's a living stone, a precious stone. On the other hand, He's a stumbling stone and a cause of offense. On the one hand, he's rejected. On the other hand, he's chosen. So there, it presents this cornerstone as this paradox. What is a cornerstone? I want to show you. I found a cornerstone. Often today, a cornerstone is a ceremonial thing that's done on a building, a new building. And they put this thing that looks like a cornerstone with a plaque on it. But during Jesus' time and in ancient times, the cornerstone was an important part of the building procedure. As in this wall here, this wall is in Jerusalem on the, I believe it said the south wall of the temple. And it's huge. It's several meters long. It's not just a small stone. And the cornerstone was cut and made to such accuracy that it determined the accuracy and shape of the building that they were erecting. This was the cornerstone. I don't understand building, really, much less ancient building with cornerstones, but that was what it was used for. And this is the analogy that is used for Jesus Christ being the cornerstone upon which something is built, upon which everything else hinges. Jesus was this living stone, this cornerstone. We'll get more into what that means in just a bit, but the Bible here says three things about this cornerstone. It says he was rejected. We see John writes in John 1, verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. Jesus came to his own. He was a Jew. He came to his own people. He was the Messiah that the Jewish prophets had prophesied. He was the one that God had promised. And he came to his people, and they rejected him. He was rejected. It's like God the Father gave his son, Jesus, the Lamb of God. He presented him to the people and said, here he is. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. And they said, no thanks, we don't want him. He's not what we're really looking for. And that seems preposterous. Preposterous. He was rejected. But we also see he was chosen. He was chosen not by men, but by God. He was the one sent and the one that was chosen to be sent. When Jesus was baptized, we saw this recently. We see the Father responding, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. This is him. This is he. This is the chosen one. God the Father had a plan of salvation and redemption before the foundation of the earth, before creation. He had this plan in mind. And this was his plan. And we can't come along and say, well, I've seen other plans that I kind of like better. This is God's doing. We can't just pick and choose it. God says, this is my son. This is he. This is plan A, the only plan. And then we see, thirdly, he was precious. He was precious. Not to the men. He was nothing special to behold, but to God, he was precious. And what's precious to God should be precious to us. And then next we see the stumbling stone. The stumbling stone. By the way, you're going to realize the stumbling stone and the cornerstone are referring to the same person, aren't they? It's simply a matter of what will he be to you? What will he be to you? Will you see him as that living stone and precious because he's precious to God and chosen by God? Or will he become a stumbling stone? Let's take a look. Verse 7. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, because he's precious to God, and what is precious to God is precious to us. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. So to those of us who believe this cornerstone to be precious, it's because he is the one chosen by God and indeed precious to God, as we read in verse 4. The things that are precious to someone become precious to us. The builders, though, the Bible says, rejected that stone. They said, no, this is not good enough. And the builders were specifically Israel, but generally man, us. Let me turn your attention to Jesus' words in Matthew 21, 43. Jesus says, therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, to the religious leaders, to the Jews. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken. But on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. What is he saying? He said the kingdom will be given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. Now remember, Peter, in 1 Peter 2, 9 that we read, at the offering time, Peter referred to we, the church, as a holy what? Remember? Nation. A holy nation. You are, you mentioned several things, but one of them was a holy nation. And that's what Jesus was referring to when he's told the people that he came unto, his own received him not, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it, the fruits of the kingdom through faith in Jesus, in the Messiah, who he was. And that nation is that holy nation, that church that he was to build, that he was to establish, his own people. This is not a saying, I want to be careful, that God has just wiped his hands and totally done with the nation of Israel as a people. He's not. They have a role to play, and they will have a role to play in the end times. There's going to be some great things done through the nation of Israel. And so it's a place to watch. It's important in God's plan and scheme and time frame. But as a nation, when Jesus the Messiah came, they rejected him. Jesus, the stone, the living stone, became a stumbling stone to those who will not believe him, who would not believe him. A stumbling stone. And the way Peter put it, no, the way Jesus put it, sorry, when he says, whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but whoever it falls, the stone, will be smashed, will be ground to powder. This is referencing judgment of God, the judgment that is to come. Let me show you a picture, another one. Okay, I don't know if you recognize these characters, but these are three of my kids and one other kid, Harry and Jenna and Charlie. You know where it is? No. It was on a hike we took up Rangitoto. Have you been on Rangitoto? Raise your hand if you've climbed up Rangitoto. It's a lovely climb. It's an easy climb, fairly easy, and it's a short day. It's not a long all-day kind of event. But one thing you know about Rangitoto is it's a volcanic island, and all the way up there's this volcanic rock, and it's super sharp. It's very sharp, and they have nice walkways, but if you get off and you just try walking across the volcanic rock, I mean, it'd be easy to trip and fall, and man, if you fall on that, it's going to hurt. It's sharp. It's hard as, and it's going to hurt badly. So if I fell on it, and I had my shorts on, and if I fell on this rock, who do you think is going to suffer the most, me or the rock? The rock's not going to have a dent, but I'm going to have some dents, and it's going to hurt. Jesus says, whoever falls on this rock will be broken, like me, and whoever it falls on will be crushed. He likens standing in opposition to Christ to slamming your head against a rock. That's not smart. You don't go up to the rock and pound your head on it, say, I'm going to break this rock into two. But this is the image that we get with Christ, the rock. And as judge and as ruler, the one that is the cornerstone, the living stone, can be a stumbling stone to those who reject him and don't want him. This is what he's saying. So Jesus is a rock of offense or stumbling to those who are judged by him, those who do not receive him, those that do not believe and trust him. And by the way, in Matthew 21, where we read that Jesus was speaking to them, he was speaking to the Pharisees and to the priests. Verse 45, after he spoke, it tells us that they perceived that he was speaking of them. They got smart. We know what Jesus is speaking about. And they got angry again. They were wanting to take him again. But they saw all the people who were listening, the people who were believing, and they were afraid of the people. So they left him alone. Now maybe this morning you're perceiving the same thing. Jesus is speaking to you through his word. Jesus is talking to you. This message is for you. Is he a stumbling stone or is he a living stone to you? He can't be both. He is one or the other. And it depends on your response to him. The response to the message to put your faith and trust in the living stone, in the cornerstone, Jesus. And fourth, the last thing. We see the living stones. This is interesting. He said, back in verse 5, we skip verse 5, but I want to go back to that. He says, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I like this. Who's the you also, by the way? Who is that? That's you. This is us. This is the church. This is believers. You also as living stones. Who's the living stone? Jesus. But he says, you also are living stones. Why? Because your identity is, as a Christian, is tied so closely to Jesus Christ. Who he is, you are. You've been baptized into Christ. You've been immersed into him. You experience his death on the cross and his resurrection to eternal life because you are in Christ and all that is yours. And Jesus being the living stone, the cornerstone, but you are also living stones. And he's taken you and he's doing something special with you. We see he's making a spiritual house. You're being built up into a spiritual house. God is the builder. And he's taking all these building supplies that is called the people of his church, and they're portrayed as living stones, and he's making this amazing building that is called the church. Jesus was the start. He was that chief cornerstone, the one that is laying out how the whole building is supposed to look and what it's supposed to be like, and he was laid. And the Bible says God now is taking us and assembling us just the way he wants us, at the time he wants us, in the places that he wants us, with the look that he wants. And he's putting us together, and he's making something interesting. You got a picture of some rocks. This is some rocks. Which one are you? Are you that nice big one, that prominent one? Are you a tiny one at the bottom helping support some of the other ones?
I don't know. But God does, and it's His plan. And you just are to be submissive to God and yield to Him and say, Lord, I want Your will in my life. Whatever You want for my life, let me serve You to the best of the abilities that You've given to me. Whatever position that You want to place me in. And so one time, many years ago, God looked at me, Ken Young, and I came to faith in Jesus Christ. And He saw Ken, and He said, Ken, You'd look good placed in this spot of my building. I don't know exactly where He had in mind. It might be somewhere on the back by the toilets in a smelly section. But it's His building, and it doesn't matter. He's placing us where He wants us to be. We all have a part, and the Bible talks many times about this. You know, the different giftings that we have, the different talents, and us being faithful with the abilities and gifts and talents that the Lord has given to us. That's the main thing. But He's making a spiritual house. And then we see we're called the royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. Now, the priesthood of believers is one of the hallmarks of Baptist distinctives. This has always been one of the points of Baptist distinctives, is the priesthood of every believer. What that means is each and every one of us are a priest. A priest. What is a priest? The Old Testament had priests that served in the temple. But basically, if you had to pick one word, a priest was a mediator. He went between you and God. He went between the people and God. And God would tell the priest what to do, and the priest would do it on behalf of the people so that God may bless, or God may forgive the sins of the people. And this was what took place with a priest. They went to God for the people. But now in Christ, we are part of the priesthood of believers. You're a priest. You don't need someone to go to God on your behalf. You're part of the holy priesthood in this temple that God is building with these living stones that we are a part of, to offer spiritual sacrifices. Spiritual sacrifices. What are these? I mean, in a temple, that's what you do. You offer sacrifices. But praise the Lord, we're not offering up animals anymore. We are offering up these spiritual sacrifices. I may not know all the spiritual sacrifices, but I do know a few. The Bible mentions several. One of them is in Romans 12, to offer up our bodies as living sacrifices. This is good and acceptable to the Lord. This is an acceptable sacrifice to the Lord. Offering up our bodies as living sacrifices. Hebrews then tells us another sacrifice in Hebrews 13, verse 15. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. So thank-filled Christians is a sacrifice of praise to God. Christians who are thankful in their hearts for all the Lord has done, all the blessings that the Lord has given, all that He is. This is good and pleasing spiritual sacrifice to God. We see another one in Hebrews 13, in verse 16. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So doing good and to others, and sharing, being generous and being giving. As we live in obedience to Him, that is a sweet sacrifice. Obey Him. Tell others. We're to be lights in the dark world. And in so doing, this is a wonderful spiritual sacrifice as we stand out for the Lord. All these are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We cannot serve God apart from Christ. All these sacrifices that we're looking at would be nothing if we do not do it through Christ, in Him, through Him. So in closing, we've seen the cornerstone, Christ, the one chosen by God but rejected by man. We've seen the stumbling stone, though. Those who reject Christ see Him as such. And He says, you know, the one on whom the stone falls will be crushed to powder. You know, you reject Christ at your own peril. We who are now redeemed by Christ are then living stones that are placed into His church for the purpose of a place that offers up spiritual sacrifices to the Lord. What a joy to be part of that building, part of that church. Would you stand with me? If you would stand, and let's have a moment to kind of pull down the shade a bit and to think, to pray, to meditate on the word that we've heard. There's been a number of things this morning in the passage to consider. But my friends, one of the first things I just want to ask is, what is Jesus to you? I mean, is He that living stone, that precious stone, that cornerstone on whom you trust? Or is He a stumbling stone, a stone of offense? A stone that if you fall on, you will be broken. And a stone that if it fallen on you, you will be crushed. What is Jesus? You have to choose one or the other. And there is no saying, well, I just don't want to make the choice. I don't want to have to choose. Because not choosing is choosing. It is. And I urge you today to put your faith in Jesus. Come to Him as the living stone and say, Lord, I need You. I've sinned. I've messed up. I know it. But Lord, Your word says that You died on my behalf. You died on the cross for my sins. And today I put my faith in You and only in You. I want to be part of the living stones that You're putting together. I want that in Jesus' name. Would you come to the Lord today? Come and talk to us. Let me know. Pastor Ken, I'm trusting Jesus today. He's the living stone, my cornerstone. Maybe there's any number of other needs that you have. Go to the Lord now and spend some time in prayer. Say, Lord, You know my heart. You know my needs. I want to live a life for You. Maybe there's sin in your life that the Lord is bringing to the surface. You need to confess it, forsake it. Peter stuttered off with that statement to set it aside. All malice, deceit, hypocrisy, all these things, set it aside. You cannot hang on to it and serve God at the same time. I'll give us just a moment. If you need to come and spend some time with the Lord, come. And if you need to pray with anybody, please let me know. If you need to talk with somebody, let me know. I'll lead us in prayer in just a moment, though.
Father, Lord, thank you for the words this morning of Peter as he tells us again of who Jesus is and what he's done. Lord, thank you for that cornerstone, that living stone upon which you're assembling and building a beautiful spiritual building. Lord, I thank you that we who are in Christ are also living stones that you are putting together. Lord, if there's anybody here that isn't trusting you, that you may be a stumbling block or a stone of offense, I pray, Lord, that you would again open their hearts and eyes to understand and see you clearly, that they may put their faith and trust in you alone, that you may be their cornerstone. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take a seat.
Thank you for the message. We have just a few announcements we'd like to share with you before you're dismissed for some teas and coffees, and then, of course, Sunday school coming up at 10 o'clock. In your bulletin under notices...
Wow.
I don't know if that was mine or not. In our bulletin under notices, we have a few things. Anniversary Sunday coming up next Sunday, the 29th of September. So remember, we're only having the 11 o'clock service. So if you come in here at 8:30, you won't find anyone here. Maybe some people in the kitchen are helping out. But otherwise, 11 o'clock worship service. And then immediately after the worship service, we're going to be having lunch together. So what we'd like for you to do is this. If you can bring a dish, something that, a food that represents your culture, your country, bring enough for your family, bring enough to share with others, and we're going to put it all together out into the courtyard area, and after the worship service time, we will have lunch together. Also, notice that it's daylight savings for that week as well, so the night before, you'll be moving your clocks forward 1 hour. Our missions that we're praying for this week, GFA, Gospel for Asia. This is a missions agency that sends out missionaries in many places throughout Asia, and we have some of the missionaries that we support with this agency as well. So continue to pray for them and pray for the missionaries who are representing the gospel and spreading the gospel in these places. Also, our new missionary letters are posted in the back, so be sure to take some time and read through those letters. Well, I think that's all of the announcements, but before we're dismissed, maybe you're celebrating a birthday or an anniversary this week as well. As I mentioned a moment ago, this is Catherine's last Sunday with us. She'll be shifting away, so at the end of the service, come and see her and tell her goodbye. And well, actually, you'll be in and out some, so she'll kind of be around occasionally. Anyone celebrating a birthday this coming week? Anyone with a birthday coming up on this week from today through Saturday? Anyone? No? Wedding anniversaries? Wait a minute. Oh, Glenn. And, yeah. Well, he can't come up here. He's all the way stuck in the top. Happy birthday, Glenn. We'll throw him a chocolate bar. Anyone else with a birthday this week? Or how about wedding anniversaries? Do we have any wedding anniversaries? No? Let's all stand. Oh, wait. No. You were clapping. You tricked me. Let's all stand together. We're going to sing Happy Birthday. Glenn's up in the booth. He can hear us from up there. He controls the sound. He might even turn us down. So let's all sing together.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
All right, happy birthday, Glenn, and his twin sister, Shay, of course. She